We begin tonight the great Triduum, the great 3 days as we prepare ourselves for the Passion of the Lord and for the great Passover feast, the resurrection of Jesus. Tonight we look at feet. In God's economy, feet are important. Blessed are the feet that bring good news, says the prophet Isaiah. If you've seen the movie Silence or read Shishako Endo's book of the same name, you'll know what a fumie is. Now, a fumie was an icon or painting of Jesus, or it was the Virgin in Jesus. And in 16th century Japan, Christians were commanded to step with their foot, which was a display of dishonor and was actually their way of apostatizing. So literally the samurai would bring the fumie for the Christians, and he would say, step on it. And by stepping on the fumie, the picture, the icon, they were saying, I renounce Christ. I renounce him. It's interesting if you see the movie, and I don't want to give too much of it away, but there are some who do apostatize. And it's interesting to see the look on their face, and they spend a little time with them during the movie. It's as if something has been completely drained from them. It's as if their soul has somehow departed from their faces. Feet are important. With our feet, we walk towards God. With our feet, we walk away from him. Feet were important to Jesus the night before he died. I've always been intrigued that this night of foot washing at the Last Supper was Jesus' ultimate symbolic act of love for his disciples. Yet who among them was grateful for the action? Who among them was worthy of the action? Luke tells us that before the supper, there was an argument about who is the greatest in the kingdom. But the King of Kings stoops down to the level of a servant, and the disciples are not able to comprehend it. Lord, you shall never wash my feet. James Martin writes, rabbinic tradition lists 48 ways through which knowledge of Torah is acquired. One is serving the wise, providing personal service for the rabbis. Among these duties are serving at table, cleaning house, and washing the feet of the rabbi. No one rushed to wash the rabbi's feet. He was the one that was doing the washing. There's two characters in our gospel, Judas and Peter. And they are the ones we think about often during Holy Week. Peter and Judas are both there, and they're both getting their feet washed. And we know so much about Peter because in many ways, he's the central figure of the disciples. He's kind of the main character in the disciples in all four Gospels. He confesses Jesus as Christ. You are the Christ. And you can almost see him, the Son of the living God. I will go to death for you, even if all betray you. I will never betray you. I will go to death for you. And then we see him tonight. Not just my feet, everything. Just everything. How long did it take before he said, curse you, I do not know him. I tell you, I do not know the man. Peter has a big heart. Peter has a lot of enthusiasm. But when it comes right down to it, he denies the Lord. The late Anglican Franciscan monk, Brother Ramon, writes, "A loving, impetuous man, bowed under the weight of mental turmoil and physical weariness, is attacked by a temptation in which he scarcely has the strength to think, let alone act, from the true depths of his soul. The temptation is too much for him." Then there's Judas. My heart always goes out to Judas. Ironic that Peter, in his betrayal, says, "I do not know the man." And what does Judas do? "Rabbi, here he is. I know him." And he kisses him. I debate in my own mind whether or not Judas's grief was repentance. Now, if you read Matthew, he says it was repentance. He says Judas repented. And Judas returns the money. And Judas says, "I betrayed an innocent man." Yet, of course, we know how Judas carries it through, what he does after that. Luke says that Judas was a thief. And in part, money is what brought him to that place. And we also know from all four Gospels that darkness had somehow consumed him, that Satan had overtaken him. Perhaps that doorway to darkness was money or power, I don't know. False expectation, disillusionment. Whatever the case was, the shadows within and without caused him to betray the Lord. Having been washed by the Lord, Judas still betrayed him. And yet, Jesus washes the feet of Peter. Jesus washes the feet of Judas. Jesus washes the feet of the whole lot of them. And I have to think that what he said on the cross, even though it was kind of aimed at the rabble that was there, he had Peter and Judas in mind. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And he loved them. And he loves us. He washes those disciples' feet who are arguing about who is greatest. Had we been there, he would have washed our feet too. Brother Ramon, again, "We are loved and accepted not because we are worthy, loyal, or boldly affirmative, but simply because we are needy sinners." But here's the trouble. The mandi part. The mandatum. "Love one another as I have loved you." Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. What happens when the friend is an enemy? What happens when they at least act like enemies? Psalm 41:9, quoted by the gospel writers in relation to Judas Iscariot, "Even my bosom friend, in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted the heel against me. Jesus says to Judas in the garden, friend, my bosom friend, do what you have to do. We are to love as Christ loved. Love others regardless of what they say or do, or if they have a positive regard towards us or not. Love them whether they deserve it or not, even if they look and act like Judas Iscariot. My favorite Isaac the Syrian quote, let yourself be persecuted, but do not persecute others. Be crucified, but do not crucify others. Be slandered, but do not slander others. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be afflicted with sinners. Exult with those who repent. Be a partaker of the sufferings of all. Rebuke no one. Revile no one, not even those who live very wickedly. Spread your cloak over those who fall into sin, each and every one, and shield them. And if you cannot take the fault on yourself and accept punishment in their place, do not destroy their character. The person who lives in love reaps the fruit of life from God, and while yet in this world, even now breathes the air of the resurrection. To be Christ-like is to love like Christ. The holy monk Zosima in the Brothers Karamazov says this in his final words before death. Be not proud. Be proud neither to the little nor to the great. Hate not those who reject you, who insult you, who abuse and slander you. Hate not the atheists, the teachers of evil, the materialists, and I mean not only the good ones. Hate not even the wicked ones. Remember them in your prayers. Thus, save, O Lord, all those who have none to pray for them. Save to all those who will not pray. When we love like this, we breathe the air of the resurrection. Greater love has no man than this, than he lays down his lives for his friends, even when the friend is an enemy. The servant is not above the master. We are to do the same. So feet are important. The disciples used them to run away and scatter. Peter to run away and weep. Judas to run to the religious leaders to throw the 30 pieces of silver. Where will yours lead you? Where do the feet of Jesus lead? To the trial, to the scourging, to the way of suffering, to the nails, to the cross, to the unlovable, the Peters and Judases and each and every one of us. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Amen.